I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage. You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and joining me this week is a country legend and somebody I have looked up to for so, so many years. She's one of my heroes, Barbara Mandrell. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Terry, for giving me a chance to visit with you. And I just want to tell you two things. First of all, I am so grateful and thankful for the success that you're having. You're doing gangbusters, really. Just what a reputation for all your great work. And so this is really neat. Night before last, I got in bed and turned on the television, and I saw one that I didn't even know existed called, I think it's called Iconic Women of Country. And I had never heard of it. And I thought, well, I bet that's about country music. I'm going to see what it is. And I turned it on and I watched. And girl, you looked so pretty. Well, you actually looked very sexy is what you did. You looked great. And you just are so articulate. And I was so thrilled. You said some nice things about me and you made me feel great. Thank you. I'm glad to get a chance to brag on you and tell you what a marvelous job you did on that show.
Well, thank you. I think it goes without saying what a hero you are to me and so many other people. There was actually a recent documentary that PBS did that we actually talked about earlier, The Iconic Women of Country. And the special is profiling 14 female pioneers in country music, and you were one of the ladies included, along with Patsy Cline, who you toured with when you were a kid. And I want to talk about that for a minute. What are your recollections of what it was like back then and working around people like Patsy Cline, who was tough as nails?
Well, first I speak of Patsy Cline because you and I both are in such awe. I did get to tour with her, but we were both touring as guests on Johnny Cash's package show, his show that was touring. I was just 13. And she was fun and witty. She didn't play second fiddle to anybody. She didn't step aside and she didn't take any lip, you know? And as far as my connection with her, I had my own, you know, my own hotel room was purchased by the show people for me for every city that we went to. And she would not hear of it. I mean, first on right away, she said, no, she's too young to be staying by herself. And I went, she'll stay with me. So I roomed with Patsy on that tour.
Oh, my goodness.
And I love that I can say to, you know, it's a fact. I slept with Patsy Cline.
Oh.
She went to have her hair done. This was early on in the tour thing. She went to have her hair done. And she got back to the hotel room and she hated her hair. And I sound so like I'm bragging here, and I don't mean to be at all. But even though I was 13 years old, I was pretty good with hair. And I just spoke up and said, well, Miss Patsy, I'm pretty good with hair. Do you want me to try to comb it for you? And she didn't hesitate. She said, yes, would you? And I combed her hair and she liked it. And so there every day for the show, I would comb her hair for her. And I'll tell you, when I was walking through the Country Music Hall of Fame, there were some things laying there. This was many years ago. And I was looking at these things that belonged to Patsy Cline. And I saw, I want to say it was a hairbrush. It's so many years, I can't remember. But it was something significant of her hair. And it just brought tears to my eyes of thinking back, you know, how gracious and sweet and wonderful she was to me, you know.
I wanted to actually talk to you about your new project, which is a vinyl collection called After All These Years, a collection, and it's exclusively available at Cracker Barrel. Now, why these songs and why now, and how did you choose what to put on there? You've got quite a vast catalog of music. So how did you decide how they were sequenced and what to choose to put on this record?
It was really important to me to be able, and I thought also a real blessing to be able to select songs from different albums of mine. And actually, my daughter, Jamie, she's the one that came up really with the final finished product of the title of After All, Barbara Mandrell, After All These Years collection. I like, as you well know, I like a lot of variety and in music from, but the best explanation for what I feel about music, Duke Ellington said, And that is, there's two kinds of music, good and bad. And I agree. I know no boundaries within the realm of all the different styles of music.
My guest this week is Barbara Mandrell, who had a chance to tour with George Jones, Patsy Cline, and Johnny Cash, all on the same show.
I can't find enough nice words about Johnny Cash in my whole life. He and June both were so good to me and my family. George Jones, I treasure the memory of, Johnny didn't have steel guitar in his band, and George Jones very much liked steel guitar. Anyway, the very first night on the show, they placed me on just before George Jones. And so I played the steel and I played the sax and I had an encore and I came off. And then George Jones went on. Well, after he came off, he came to me and he said, "I just wonder if when you came off, if I did one song and then it reintroduced you and had you come back out, would you play, if I give you the list of the songs and the keys, would you play for me and like kick off my songs and back me up
wow.
and do a turnaround in it, you know, or take a ride on it and then end it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I sure will." And I did. I also can truly say that I got to play steel guitar for George Jones.
My guest is Barbara Mandrell. And at one point, she told me the story behind one of her most iconic songs.
Even though I was born in Houston, I was, of course, raised in Southern California. And Kai Fleming and Dennis Morgan asked me, "Oh my goodness, what was it like performing country music in California?" And I told them I was a regular on a television show in California, in L.A., on Channel 11, called Town Hall Party. And all the big names, that's how I got to meet a lot of people before I ever even had the opportunity to come to Nashville. But I told them I would do things like I'd perform on Saturday night on television, and then on Monday morning go back to school, and I'd hear, "Yeehaw! Love that country music." kids would just, all kinds of stuff, you know. But anyway, Kai and Dennis said, "We wrote something. We want you to hear it." And they wrote, "I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool."
Mm.
And I can't come close to telling you, Terry, how much. I mean, because it's not just the cliche story of my life. It is the story of my life.
That song helped me as a kid realize that my feet were headed in the right direction and it was okay to be a little bit different. And I play that song in my show today. And that song's in my show. And when I start the intro and just go into, "I remember wearing straight lately," people go crazy. I did my own version of Sleeping Single in a Double Bed on a tribute record that came out in 2006.
You sing it so beautifully, and I thank you so much for doing that for that album. And, of course, I thank you that you're performing it in your show, too, that it's wonderful to have it treated so beautifully by you. You have a great voice and a great attitude with the songs, the way you deliver.
Well, thanks, Barbara. And, I don't know how many people realize this, but because it was a while ago, but when my second album went gold, we were doing an episode of Diagnosis Murder together with Dick Van Dyke. Do you remember that?
Of course I do. And I remember you and the fun we had.
Yeah. And that's the first time I met Jamie, your daughter, too. She was on set that day. And you gave me my gold record for my second album. You presented it to me. And I'm looking at it right now on the wall.
And that was such an honor. And again, I congratulate you, because some people think, well, that's not very significant and that's not very difficult. Really? I mean, really? That's such a great achievement. So I'm really proud to have been a split second of that, celebrating it. It was so great.
I do want to talk about the remix of Sleeping Single in a Double Bed that just came out. My hair stylist and friend sent me this a couple of weeks ago. He just sent me the remix. He said, "Listen to this." And I was like, "Oh my God, that is awesome." So how did you feel when you heard it, and how was the idea to do a dance remix on your probably one of your biggest hits? How does it feel to hear it done that way?
I hadn't thought anything of doing anything. And one of my very best friends in this whole world was talking to me one day, and he said, "What would you think if we did a remix on one of your songs for for dance and stuff?" And I said, "Well, it would depend. Can you play me any country songs that have been done that way, you know, in a remix. And so he texted me, I don't know, about three songs. I listened and I really liked it. And I said, you know what? I'd really like that. As long as when it's all said and done and I hear the final, if I just hate it, we don't do it. When I heard it, I was so delighted and I was so impressed. And so anyway, I'm very happy about it. It only took me hearing it one time to say, yep, that's great. Let's do it. You know,
we recently lost Kenny Rogers and you had a lot of moments with Kenny. And I think he appeared on your TV show. I remember him actually appearing on your TV show. What are your memories of Kenny? Do you have any Kenny Rogers stories you can share with us?
Like everybody, I loved Kenny very much. And actually, there were several of his shows that I was his opening act for. And I will always be, even though he's not here and doing it anymore. We have his recordings, and I will always be a huge fan of his performances. His singing is, he's a one and only. He was always so nice to me, and he was funny, and he was witty, and he was quick. As you said, and I appreciate that you remembered, he was a guest on our television show. And I just know he so brilliantly gave so much to the world of entertainment and made great landmarks for country music. So those are my feelings. I miss him.
One of the subjects that's important to Barbara Mandrell is her faith.
I know God has a plan for us. And if we give our lives to him too, and if we, the only time I ever made mistakes is when I tried to make my own decisions and not ask him, you know, but I'm just saying he gave me things that I could not even come close to imagining that were so great and meaningful and unbelievable to me. And I wouldn't change a thing. And even when it was, when I wanted to retire, and that was before I was even 50, I was still in my 40s, and I just was thinking, you know, I've pretty much done what I want to do. And Ken and I both, we would just pray about it, you know, and to find out if God wanted me to go ahead and retire, because I'd never had the chance to just be, you know, a wife and mother. And my youngest son was getting ready, going into high school. And anyway, I just prayed about it, and God has gave us the decision really fast. And I just want to say, because he made the decision for me, I never had a second that I regretted it at all. When he makes your decisions, they're perfect, you know. So I'm really grateful.
I want to thank you so much, Barbara Mandrell, for being here and speaking with me on Country Gold today. I'm so excited, as we all are.
I want to interrupt you, Terry Clark. I want to thank you for all you're doing for country music. But I really mean that. You do so much for so many, Terry. And I'm very proud of you. And I'm really so happy that you invited me to let me get to talk to your listeners. Thank you for this.
Country Gold with Terry Clark.